I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. In a few minutes, we will take on a controversial claim that has become a cause in the conservative media. A former Department of Justice lawyer says he quit because the department did not aggressively pursue a case against two black men. We'll talk to attorney J. Christian Adams in a few minutes. But first, the White House today is unveiling a comprehensive national strategy to address HIV/AIDS. More than a million Americans are living with the HIV virus. That's the one that causes AIDS. More than 50,000 new infections occur every year. The Obama administration says it can cut that number by a fourth, in part by moving resources toward African Americans and gay and bisexual men. We're going to talk about the White House's plan with NPR's Brenda Wilson, a science correspondent who's reported extensively on the global and domestic HIV/AIDS epidemic. Also here with me in the Washington studio is Kenya Hutton. He's the Young Adult Program Coordinator for a group called Us Helping Us. That's a nonprofit here in Washington, D.C. that offers support to gay black men. And I welcome you both and thank you so much for joining us.
Hello, Michelle.
Hi, how you doing?
First, Brenda, I want to ask you, is this really the first formal national HIV/AIDS strategy? That's how it's being presented.
You know, I've talked with several people and, you know, different agencies have all had a piece of it. It's been kind of a patchwork sort of job. So some sort of cohesive thrust with, I don't know, objectives and outcomes to aim for. Essentially, this is the first time. I mean, we've never said, okay, we want to get these numbers down by 25% by 2015. And for the first time, they're saying, okay, we've got a goal and we're going to aim for it and we're going to try to figure out what is necessary to get us from this place to that place.
So the visioning and the comprehensiveness is new. Is there anything else new? What about the level of resources, for example?
So far, we don't know. And everybody is really concerned about the money because right now you've got about 2,000 people on waiting lists waiting for medicines. And the administration so far has offered $25 million. And the states are asking for $126 million. They're saying that's what they need. And this has been going on consistently, sort of running out of money before the end of the fiscal year as more people come in because the administration and the government at the same time is urging people to get tested. There will be treatment for you, but no, there isn't.
One more question to you before I turn to Kenya. The CDC said that gay and bisexual men are 44 to 86 times more likely to become infected with HIV than heterosexual men. And the White House says that part of the plan is specifically to address this disparity, to target resources to those groups most at risk. How?
By finding them where they are. I mean, going where they are and reaching out to them. I mean, I think they're going to be using not just one approach. They're going to be using a lot of different approaches. It's not any one thing that works. But I think before, there hasn't been this acknowledgement. I think we've sort of steered away from identifying the issues which gay and bisexual men have to deal with on a daily basis. And a large part of that group of gay and bisexual men that are not being reached are young men and they're black men. And we have to realize that this constantly changes, that we can't stop, that we have this sort of generational thing going on with this.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the Obama administration's new national HIV/AIDS strategy. It's being announced today. We're speaking with NPR science correspondent Brenda Wilson. Now we're going to turn to Kenya Hutton. He's with a group called Us Helping Us. That's a nonprofit focused on the health of gay black men, gay and bisexual, I would assume, black men. So Kenya, how would this focus affect your work? I mean, I guess what I'm interested in is what kinds of needs do you see that are specific to this group that are not now being addressed and that where you could use some help?
We can definitely use help with funding.
But to do what?
To get to where they are. We see a lot of times where we have to go out to these different venues, to standing on the street, you know, the street corners, clubs, bars, et cetera, just to try to find these people that for whatever reason, won't come into the office. When we don't have the funds to get to people where they are, a lot of times they won't come in. And if the funding, with funding like getting shorter and shorter and shorter, we're left with like a skeleton crew. And the numbers are increasing, but the funds that we have to reach out to these people are less.
So are people receptive when you do reach them?
What I see is when we do go out to these venues, initially they're not. You know, they're kind of very standoffish. But after a while, they kind of warm up to you. It's kind of like developing that relationship where people feel comfortable because it's a personal test. It's a personal, you're getting into their personal lives. And if they're not comfortable with you, they're not really want to come and talk to you. But
how do you feel about this whole question of targeting the resources where the need seems to be greatest? Because on the one hand, it sort of makes common sense. If this is a group that's most affected, that's where the resources should go. On the other hand, there has been this longstanding concern about targeting specific populations because of the fear of stigma. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think, so, Brenda, do you want to speak to that?
Yeah, I think they're going to be doing two things. One of the things they've also stated is they're going to expand the education of the American public so that, yes, you have to kind of reach people because sexuality is a sort of dynamic sort of thing. It just doesn't happen in a vacuum. It has to do with people's whole lives. I mean, where they live. You say, how do you reach people? If you reach them and you find they don't have a home, one of the first ways you can do to help protect them from getting infected is help them get the resources they need to live more healthy lives and think before they act. And in order to do that, you have to address other needs besides just their sexuality. Mm-hmm. At the same time, I think explaining to the American public why this is important. In 1995, 44% of Americans thought this was a really serious issue. Last survey by the Kaiser Family Foundation in March of last year, 6% thought it was a really important health issue. So clearly the American public doesn't understand that we have a growing epidemic in the United States and that if it doesn't change, in about a decade, we're going to have 75,000 people a year becoming infected. Right now we have about 56,000 a year.
Well, would you speak about that? I think it's hard for some people to believe that 25 years into this epidemic, people still don't know how the disease is transmitted, what can put them most at risk, and how they can protect themselves. What are you finding, though? Are you finding that the young men to whom you reach out, do they really not know about HIV/AIDS, or do they really just don't think that it has anything to do with them?
That's really it. They know about HIV. I mean, HIV is pretty much plastered everywhere, but there still is that sense of, it's not going to happen to me. They're still stuck on, this person looks healthy, they probably don't have anything, and they're not willing to take that risk for a variety of reasons, like you touched on, you know, homelessness, need for comfort, attention, etc. So they'll bypass all the information that's out there and start to think, okay, well, this person doesn't look like what it used to look like 25 years ago, so obviously they probably don't have anything.
So 25 years ago, you're thinking there was a sort of a sense of the seriousness of the disease, but now, what is the attitude? Is it something like diabetes, which is manageable?
Absolutely.
And do people have the sense, oh, I'll just get a shot or some pills and I'll be fine, that kind of thing? There really isn't a sense of
absolutely
that this is a serious disease.
Absolutely. I have a number of clients that come into my office, and these are young people, 17, 18, 19-year-olds. When I tell them to have a positive result, their reaction is like, okay, well, where can I get my meds? No sort of like concern or anything like that. You know, it's manageable. Like you said, like diabetes. I can take a few pills, take a pill a day, and I'll be fine.
But why don't they know that that's not true?
And that is a very difficult thing to convey, you know, that it is not simple, for one thing, to be on these meds, to constantly have to monitor your health, and that this is not something you want to do. The drugs themselves can be hard on your kidneys. But at the same time, you have to be able to tell people, you know, be conscious of your status. Want to know whether you're HIV positive or not. Because if you are treated early, yes, the virus can be controlled more. It's not cheap. I mean, we're spending about $20 billion on HIV/AIDS in this country right now, only 1% of the federal budget, but most of that goes to medicines. And, you know.
I'm going to ask one more question to you, Brenda, but I'm going to ask Kenya, how did you become, you are of the age group that is most affected? You're a little old. Well, you look very young and fresh. But I'm just saying, why do you think you got the message and so many of your peers didn't? Why?
When I was younger, about 10 years ago, I lost a friend. Coming up to that point, it was kind of like I was in the same boat. It's not going to affect me. It's none of my friends are, you know, infected. This is just something that we see about on TV. And then when a close friend of mine's passed away, it was kind of that reality check. After he passed and his status started coming out, you started hearing about other people. And I started realizing that this thing is all around me. It's everywhere. That started like propelling me into wanting to do a little bit more research, find out what's going on. And that's where it started. And 10 years ago, I'm still here.
And Brenda, final thought from you. I know that this announcement is new, but kind of word of it has been trickling out. The president has taken some heat for the level of funding he's allocated to the AIDS response, both domestically and internationally. This is kind of an ongoing concern. It has been for some, even predating this administration. I wanted to ask whether this strategy, from what you're hearing so far, is assuaging any of these concerns? What's the response?
I think that some people who are angry are going to remain angry. I don't think this necessarily entirely assuages or mollifies them to any degree. I'm already hearing that, okay, you took 15 months to give birth to what? Others are being much more sort of, the comments are mixed. I mean, their big concern is make sure that the resources are there to carry it out. One big thing the administration could do in addition to this strategy, it is that could change the Department of Defense's policies on gays in the military.
Why do you
get
say
rid
that?
Of don't ask, don't tell. They're saying, okay, if you want to do something about HIV and AIDS, remove the stigma of being gay. Get rid of homophobia mm-hmm. within your administration once and for all. I think the one thing we haven't mentioned here is that whether you're talking
about... Well, Congress has something to say about that, too. I mean, this isn't something...
Yes, Congress. The administration
can't
do
that by fiat.
I think they feel... The concern is that the administration, they believe, these are the critics, you know, haven't pushed hard enough on this score.
Anything else?
And the last thing I would say, and I would stress it especially for the African-American community, being HIV positive, even though our families may embrace us, I tried to reach out to find people who would comment in the story that I was working on. A lot of people, unless they are spokespeople, are still hiding. Mm-hmm. They do not feel that they can come forward. There is still a lot of homophobia in the Black community. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how we can somehow break through that entirely.
NPR's Brenda Wilson has reported extensively on the global and domestic HIV/AIDS epidemic. She joined us here in our Washington, D.C. studio, along with Kenya Hutton, who's Young Adult Program Coordinator for Us Helping Us. That's a nonprofit group that offers support for gay Black men based here in Washington, D.C. And I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
If you want to read a copy of the report for yourself, we'll have a link on our website. Just go to npr.org, click on Programs, then on Tell Me More.